neck, and the area around my right eye was inflamed. Little scrapes of blood dashed my cheekbone. Anxiety jolted my stomach like an electric current. I can't go to LA looking like this. I can't play for them like this. Another terrible fear racked me, lighting up my insides with panic. I quickly knelt in front of my guitar case and threw open the latches. With two hands, I gingerly pulled the guitar out and turned it over, inspecting it. A sigh of relief miles deep eased out of me as I set it back in its case, whole and undamaged. But the damage had been done. I looked exactly like what Chet had said, a dirt poor kid who couldn't manage to stay out of trouble long enough to make it through one important meeting. The strength drained out of me, and I sat down hard on the wooden bench and stared at the ocean through the shack's lone window. The battle with Chet replayed in flashes, making me wince. But my mom's defeated face scared me more. The last thing I wanted to do was eat, but I took my insulin and choked down some food, every bite like a rock in my bruised windpipe. Panic lit me up all over again. Jesus, what if I can't sing? I hummed a few bars, wincing at the pain. A few lyrics grated out. I cleared my throat and tried again, louder. For a few nerve-wracking minutes, I warmed up my voice until I could sing past the pain and sound like myself. God damn, I murmured. Chet had almost ruined everything. Maybe he did. They're not going to want me either. The last vestiges of adrenaline left me drained, and I laid my head on the table. The sense of salt and old wood and the sound of the ocean crashing and retreating soothed me like mom's perfume and lullabies used to when I was a kid, a lifetime ago. A soft hand touched me awake. I opened heavy eyes to see Violet standing over me. She wore jeans and a baggy hoodie, no makeup, her hair in a ponytail. So beautiful. She smiled. Hey, you. Napping before your... Her words cut off in a gasp as I sat up and the afternoon sunlight fell over my face. Miller, my God, what happened? She touched my chin, turning me toward her to get a better look, and then bit back a little cry. Your neck. Who did this to you? Chet? I nodded. I'm okay, but shit, look at me. I can't go to LA now. Of course you can, she said fiercely, her voice wavering. You can't let him stop you. I'm going to meet a high-level exec looking like this? It's pathetic. I don't want them to feel sorry for me. They won't. Not after you sing. She pulled me to her, cradling my head against her soft sweatshirt. He kicked me out, Vi, I said into her middle. He kicked me out of the house. I was homeless for the second time in my life. No, Violet said in a quavering voice. He can't do that. He did. My mom is too scared and beat down to stand up to him. My only chance now is to go to LA, convince them to invest in me, and kick his ass out when I get back. Saying it out loud made it sound even more implausible. Violet sat on the bench beside me. You can do that, and you will, she said, blinking her tears away, determination taking over. She glanced around the shack. I thought I saw a first aid kit around here. Holden brought one. I pointed at the small medicine box, sitting near the generator, softly whirring in the corner. Violet brought it back to the table, I winced as she touched antiseptic wipes to the scrapes on my cheek. Tomorrow it won't be so red. It'll look better tomorrow. I noticed she didn't say anything about the fingerprints on my neck that looked exactly like what they were. No hiding them. Voices sounded from outside. Shit, the others are here, I said. I don't want them to see me like this. It's fucking humiliating. Violet touched my cheek. It's not. It's just what happened. They're your friends, and they care about you. Holden and Ronan could be heard bickering at each other as they prepped the fire pit, Shiloh cutting in to scold them for being jackasses. Despite everything, I smiled. I'd missed them. We exited the shack. Three heads turned, and three pairs of eyes widened at the same time to see my face. I put my hand up before anyone, mainly Holden, could speak. I don't want to talk about it. My mom's boyfriend is a dick. Let's leave it at that. But fucking hell, Miller, Holden began. I said I don't want to talk about it. I'll deal with him when I get back. Somehow. Holden reluctantly backed off. Shiloh's face was a mask of concern. But Ronan looked ready to kill. While the others were busy setting up the fire and getting the food, he pulled me aside. When you get back, he said in a flat tone, his gray eyes hard and flinty, we're going to handle it, okay? I nodded, teeth clenched to keep the damn tears from my eyes. Okay. Good, he said. Then I nearly fell over as he reached out and gripped my shoulder for a short second. Ronan never touched anyone. He gave me a thump and let me go. He got the fire started while Holden got the conversation going. For a few hours, I was able to put what happened on the back burner. I sat in the sand, Violet in front of me, her back to my chest, my arms wrapped around her, her head nestled in the crook of my shoulder. We ate hot dogs and potato chips. Holden told an outlandish story about the time he and another patient at the sanitarium in Switzerland attempted a poorly planned escape and ended up being chased through sprinklers on the front lawn wearing only bathrobes, their bare asses waving in the wind. Violet laughed with the rest of us, but I noticed she was watching Holden differently, as if seeing him in a new light. After the food had settled, Shiloh asked me to play the songs I'd prepared for the meeting. Not in the mood, I said with finality. No one pushed it. Eventually, it was time for me to say my goodbyes. Holden put both hands on my shoulders, his peridot green eyes staring intently into mine, serious as death. Listen to me. If you get to this meeting and start to panic or freak the fuck out, I have a surefire solution that I use when I get in tough spots. What's that? I asked, preparing myself for something ridiculous. I ask myself one question, and one question only. What would Jeff Goldblum do? Yep. Thank you. That's super helpful. Holden grinned, and then it suddenly fell from his face as his gaze landed on my bruises. Wordlessly, he pulled off the scarf he was wearing, despite the warm afternoon, and slung it around my neck. He wound it loosely so that it covered the marks. You don't have to explain anything to them, okay? He said. Not a goddamn thing. Damn it, Parrish. My eyes stung as I hugged him tight. Thanks, man. He let me go, and Shiloh took a turn, giving me a hug and a kiss on the cheek. Knock him dead. I know you will. Ronan had already said his piece earlier. He gave me a short nod as the three of them left the shack. Violet and I lingered for a bit before heading out. I knew she had something on her mind. She gathered my medical bag while I shouldered my duffel and picked up my guitar case. "I wish I could drive you to the airport," she said quietly as we walked along the beach. "I want to." "You can't skip that appointment, Vi," I said, brushing strands of raven black hair from her temple. "They need to make sure you're okay." "I know I'm okay," she bit her lip. "But does it have to be Evelyn?" "She has some last minute advice, probably along the lines of don't fuck this up."
"But what's in it for her? She never does anything without an agenda."
"Massive amounts of ad revenue for her vlog," I said. I didn't add that Evelyn had said the true purpose for driving me to the airport was to finally tell me the favor she wanted in exchange for helping me. If it was something wildly inappropriate, which I suspected it was, I'd shoot her down and Violet would never have to hear about it and be hurt. She didn't look happy. "You trust me, right?"
"Of course I do. Evelyn, not so much."
I cleared my throat. "I mean, not to point out the obvious, but you're going to prom with another guy."
"You definitely have nothing to worry about there," she said with a funny smile, then met my eye intently.
"But I mean it. I trust you, Miller."
"I trust you too, Vi," I said. And I did. But the idea of River touching her, dancing with her, and taking photos like they were a couple was like rubbing salt in a wound after this morning. Violet was the last good thing that was mine, and I didn't want to share her.
"You're being a possessive asshole," I told myself. "A Chet. Don't be a Chet."
"I'm going to miss you," she said, as we drove out of the beach area and onto Cliffside Street in her SUV.
I'd texted Evelyn to meet me at the Whole Grounds Cafe instead of my apartment to avoid any more shit with Chet.
"You too," I said, "and I'm sorry to miss your birthday."
"You and me both," she said with a sly smile. Violet parked the car in a spot in front of the coffee shop. She turned to me, kissed me softly.
"Break a leg. Call me the second it's over."
"I will."
I cupped her cheek and kissed her again. I tried to take a little bit of eternal optimism with me, let her sweetness wash away my bitterness. But my stomach was a tangle of knots, and my thoughts filled with doubt and fear.
"I'll call you tomorrow night. And have fun at the prom. I know you'll be so beautiful."
"I'll be wishing I was with you."
She kissed me a final time, and then I got out of her car, taking my bags and guitar case with me. I was walking into the cafe when a screech of tires sounded behind me. Violet had backed out of the parking lot, then pulled back in. She threw open her door and ran to me, stood in front of me, breathless, with her eyes alit. The pale porcelain skin of her cheeks was flushed, and her red lips parted.
"I love you,"
she blurted. It whacked me so hard in the chest, taking my breath away.
"I started to drive away, and I couldn't do it. I can't let you go to Los Angeles without you knowing that I love you. I've always loved you, since we were 13 and stupid and scared. Scared about how much I loved you, how deep it went."
She shook her head, deep blue eyes shining.
"Because it's so deep, Miller. I can't see the bottom."
I stared as her speech sank into me like warm rain, each word melting away the anxiety, loosening the fear, filling me with warmth instead. Violet studied my dazed expression.
"You don't have to say it back."
I silenced her with a kiss,
holding her face in both hands, kissing my love into her. 4 years worth of unspoken love behind us, and a lifetime ahead.
I love you, I whispered against her lips.
I'm so in love with you, God, Violet. Things were utter shit, and then one night, I came out of a dark forest, stumbling and lost, and there you were.
Tears filled her eyes, but her smile was wide and brilliant.
Well, she huffed, teary and breathy. Glad we got that settled. And for the record, that's the best birthday present ever.
She kissed me again, holding my hands in both of hers, then backed away and headed to her car. She gave a little wave from the window and was gone. I sank down at a table outside the cafe, amazed at how a single day could be both the fucking worst and the absolute best at the same time. A few minutes later, a black Escalade rolled into the parking lot and pulled up parallel to the shop. The passenger window rolled down, and Evelyn lowered her sunglasses at me.
Hey, baby, need a ride?
I smirked and opened the backseat door to stow my stuff, then climbed in the front. Evelyn took off her glasses.
Holy shit, what happened to you?
I stiffened.
It's nothing.
Nothing, she screeched. You're a mess and Jesus, what's that on your neck?
Holden's scarf had fallen down and I yanked it off.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry? God, are you okay?
I'm fine, but it looks bad, right? For the interview.
It's not ideal,
Evelyn said, putting the car in drive and heading out. Her eyes were suddenly full of thoughts, calculating. After a few minutes, she said,
I'll give you some concealer to put on your neck. I use it all the time for that sort of thing.
I whipped my head.
All the time for what sort of thing?
She swallowed hard, gripping the steering wheel with both hands.
Never mind, she said,
taking us north out of Santa Cruz toward the San Jose airport.
The time has come.
Your demands.
Think of it more as a quid pro quo. I helped get you to where you're going. Now I want you to help me in return.
I haven't signed a contract yet.
But you will. And when you do, they're going to ask you to move to Los Angeles to cut a record. An EP, probably. They'll want you to shoot some videos, maybe even do a tour as someone's opener. And when all that happens, Evelyn said, I want to be there too.
What does that mean?
I want you to take me with you.
I scoffed.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Miller, listen to me.
I'm not taking you to Los Angeles, Evelyn. To live with me? I'm with Violet.
This has nothing to do with her, Evelyn said. And I'm not asking you to take me on as one of your damn groupies, for God's sake. Ego much?
Then what do you want?
I need a foot in the door. Contacts. You can't make it anywhere in the world without knowing somebody. You're going to be that somebody, and I'm going to be your personal assistant.
I barked a laugh.
A personal assistant? No, I can't do that, Evelyn. I don't have the clout anyway.
Have you even bothered to watch any of your videos?
She asked, weaving her car through traffic.
Have you read any of the comments? You're going to be huge, Miller. Where you're going tomorrow? It's not a job interview. It's going to be to sign a record contract.
I leaned back against the leather seat of her Escalade, contemplating her words, then shook my head.
Impossible, isn't it?
You're getting way ahead of yourself, I said.
And no, sorry, I can't do that, Evelyn. I can't do that to Violet.
I have to get out of here, Miller.
Evelyn said,
and I was shocked at the sudden tears filling her eyes.
I have to. What happened to you today? It happens to me too.
I stared, my brain trying to comprehend what she was telling me. All the times I'd been in her house, I never got a sense of anything sinister. Happy photos on the walls, joking around with her dad, an indulgent mom who was clearly proud of her.
Who? I asked. I've never seen.
So, if you didn't see it, it never happened?
Without taking her eyes off the road, her hand went down to the hem of her miniskirt and pulled it up. A rectangular-shaped bruise, 4 inches long and 2 inches wide, ran across the top of her thigh. She pulled her skirt down.
He hits me there, so it doesn't show.
Fuck, I breathed. Who?
Doesn't matter.
It does matter. Jesus, Evelyn, I'm sorry.
It's okay, she said, waving a hand. I can take care of myself, and I will, once I get to Los Angeles. Promise me, Miller. Promise you won't say anything. Promise me that when your dreams come true, you'll help me with mine.
Nothing had happened yet, but if by some miracle she was right, and they did offer me everything I could hope for, it was my responsibility to help other people. My duty. I'd lived in a car. I'd been homeless once, and I was homeless again. If the universe was going to take care of me, I had to pay it back.
I promise, I said, sealing the deal.
My word was unbreakable. I just prayed to God that Violet would understand, that it wasn't asking too much of her.
Thank you, Miller,
Evelyn said, letting out a shaky breath.
You're one of the good guys. You know that, right? That's why they love you so much.
Who?
All those girls on my vlog. That's what they all want. Someone like you, looking at them the way you look at Violet. They all want to be the girl in your love song.
She glanced at me, her usually sharp eyes soft now.
Gold Line Records knows that. They're going to bottle you up and sell you, Miller. Are you prepared for that?
I thought of my mom's face, etched in hopelessness, covered in dust.
Whatever it takes.
Chapter 21. Violet. I finished my checkup at the medical center. As I suspected, my head was just fine. No residual effects of the concussion I'd had months ago. But to be safe, I'd sat on the bench for the rest of the soccer season, cheering the team from the sidelines. I'd just arrived at my car when Miss Taylor, my counselor, called. I've got good news and bad news. Which do you want to hear first? The bad, I said, shutting the driver's side door and climbing behind the wheel. Then hit me with the good to take the sting out. I'm afraid it's a pretty big sting. UC Santa Cruz has awarded you the Joan T. Bergen Scholarship in the amount of $5,000. That's a good thing. Per year? Total. There was a lot of competition this year, and most scholarships were already awarded. That leaves you needing to cover about $55,000 over 4 years, not to mention housing, food, books, etc. I swallowed hard. Okay, that's not impossible. I can survive the first year with financial aid, then reapply next year for more help. Are you sure? That's a lot to take on. I can do it. I'll live at home, get a job. I let out a shaky breath. Yeah, I can do this. I could hear Miss Taylor's smile color her words. Good for you, Violet. But before you make any decisions, the good news is pretty good. Baylor University was quite impressed with you. They've awarded you the Physicians of the Future Scholarship. My jaw dropped. That's huge. It is. And accepting it would look incredible on your med school applications when the time comes. They're going to cover your tuition in full, so long as you maintain a 3.5 grade point average. In full? Holy crap! I bit my lip. Baylor was in Texas, so far away from friends and family. And Miller. He was already in Los Angeles, probably building a future there. Santa Cruz was a short flight, hardly an hour. But Texas? You'd have to cover your own housing, Miss Taylor continued. But considering tuition is higher for out-of-state students, this is a huge win. I nodded. My first years of college, debt-free. It's an enormous opportunity, but UCSC has been my dream since forever. Santa Cruz is my home. I know you said to be flexible, but let me talk to my parents before I make a decision. It's a lot to think about. Well, let me know what you decide, and I'll help you answer the schools and figure out the details. Thank you, Miss Taylor, for everything. Of course. And have fun at the prom. You're going with River Whitmore? My brow wrinkled. How did you know? He told me. I've been helping him with his college apps. That boy is destined for great things. The NFL, even. Oh, he's still pursuing that? I asked casually. I can't give particulars. I'm sure he'll tell you all about it at prom. But the Big Ten are all clamoring for him. I smiled thinly. I'm sure they are. I hung up with Miss Taylor, thinking River and I had a lot in common. We both wanted simple things, to stay in the city we loved and build our futures there. But life had its own plans. I got home to an eerily silent but not empty house. It breathed with tension and anxiety. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up as I entered the kitchen, colored in twilight's amber light. Mom and Dad were sitting at the table, papers strewn all over. The logo for the IRS jumped out at me more than once. What's going on? I asked slowly, moved slowly, breathed slowly. The air felt like glass. Mom sniffed and dabbed a tissue to red eyes. Sit down, Violet. On stiff legs, I sat between them at the table and folded my hands. I looked to my dad, and my heart cracked. I'd never seen him so wrecked, unshaven, disheveled, thinner. Daddy? He smiled weakly.
Hey, Pumpkin. We have some bad news.
I'm sure she gathered that, Mom snapped, but without much energy. She waved a hand.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Just tell her already, or I will. Be my guest.
Mom huffed a breath and faced me. First, let me say this isn't your fault. You're going to think it is, but it's not. It's the result of years' accumulation of bad ideas compounded by mistakes we made. Okay. Mom heaved another breath. Your applications for financial aid have triggered an IRS audit of our finances. Under normal circumstances, this wouldn't be a big deal. But
we're broke, Dad said. More than broke.
We're completely screwed. Mom sipped from a coffee cup that I wasn't sure contained only coffee. I stared between them. What happened?
A few years ago, I got in some trouble, Dad said. I developed an app. It was supposed to be a smash, but the deal fell through.
It fell through because your father stole code from another developer working on a similar app, Mom said. Dad shook his head at her, his lips drawn down in pure malice.
I stole nothing, he seethed. But yes, there was a patent already pending that I foolishly ignored. They sued me, and it took everything we had to keep it quiet or else we'd be ruined.
That's where my college fund went? I asked. To cover the lawsuit? Not just that, Mom said, shifting in her seat. The lawsuit judgment was more than we could handle. They were set to take our house, the cars. The lifestyle we have would vanish.
And your mother couldn't handle that,
Dad said acidly. And I realized, with a pang, there was no love left between them. Not one iota.
And you could? Mom snapped back at him. To admit to the world we were ruined? I plugged a hole in the leaky dam.
How? I asked, despite having no desire to hear the answer. I stopped paying the taxes, Mom said. I gaped.
You did what? To keep money in the bank. I fired our tax guy and told him we were going with another firm. Your father assured me that his next deal would put us back on top. We could pay it all back. But no new magic deal ever materialized. Somehow, we stayed under the IRS's radar until now. Until I filed for financial aid. I slumped back in the chair, my gaze going to the papers on the desk. That's why you couldn't get a divorce. Dad nodded.
We didn't want to show a judge the true state of our finances.
What happens now? My glance darted between them, fear squeezing the breath out of me. Not paying taxes is a big deal. Are you going to jail?
No, thank God, Dad said. My friend Charlie, you remember him? He's an attorney, and he's agreed to help us get out of the mess pro bono. We have to sell the house, all of our assets, and put it toward the IRS debt.
Sell the house? The house I'd lived in my whole life. My home. I gripped the kitchen table where I'd once sat in a high chair, Mom spooning me food and Dad making silly faces, where we'd eaten thousands of meals together, laughing and happy, in a time that was growing more faded and distant by the second. Where will we live? I asked.
Your father and I will separate, Mom said. I'll be moving back in with Grandma in Portland. I'll be staying with Uncle Tony, Dad said.
In Ohio? He nodded miserably. And what about me? Mom bit her lip and looked away. Dad tried to smile.
Well, honey, that's up to you.
I stared. You want me to choose between you and Mom? The idea made me sick. But then I realized my fate was already decided for me. No, forget it. I'm not going with either one of you. Baylor is going to give me a full ride.
Baylor?
Dad's eyes widened.
That's a wonderful school. Congratulations, honey.
His tearful pride threatened to wreck me. Are they paying for everything? Mom asked. Almost, I said. I have some savings. I'll find a place, get a job. I'll be fine.
We're proud of you, Pumpkin, Dad said. So proud. So much potential, and we failed you.
It's okay, Dad, I said abruptly. Nothing was okay, but I needed him to stop talking. His brokenness was too much to take. He was my father. He was supposed to be strong, protective. Mom was supposed to be strong, too, and nurturing. They'd both been those things once upon a time. Mom took my hand, tears pricking her eyes.
Violet, I'm sorry. So sorry. And Jesus, tomorrow is your birthday.
A sob burst out of her that she immediately covered with her hand. She pushed back from the table and ran from the room. Dad stood up too and patted my shoulder. He bent and kissed my head.
We'll make it up to you, he said. Somehow.
He left and I was alone in the kitchen. The house went silent again, a quiet that felt permanent. Empty. It swallowed the echoes of happier times until there was nothing left. The next day, Shiloh came over to help me get ready for prom. She brought me a white gift box wrapped in gold rimmed. Inside was a ring she had made herself, a beautifully intricate mix of bronze gold and silver strands twining together. Happy birthday, Vi. It's beautiful, I said, slipping it over the middle finger of my right hand. Stunning, Shy. You're so damn talented. I can't wait to see you have your own storefront downtown someday. You and me both. There's also an inscription. I took it off. Inside, she'd engraved, Vi and Shy, where the medals were welded together. Tears threatened as I hugged my friend tight.
I'm going to miss you so much. Me too.
She quickly released me to move behind and help me button my dress. Royal blue with a crystal embroidered bodice and a long sweeping chiffon skirt. In the mirror, I watched her braids fall over her slender shoulders as she worked, her eyes shining.
I hate that you're leaving, she said. We were supposed to have 4 more years together before you abandoned me for med school. I know, it makes me sick to think about it.
What about everything else?
How are you taking the divorce? It's for the best. At one time in my life, it would have been the worst thing to happen. Now it's one more torrent in a giant shitstorm. That left you in the cold. I'm worried about you striking off for Texas on your own. I have a little saved up. Will it be enough? It'll have to be. I can't ask them for anything. They don't have anything. The reality of it struck me hard. How fast things had changed. I stood in my room that had been mine since I could remember, and it was already feeling like I didn't belong here anymore. Shiloh bit her lip and finished the last button. Have you thought about maybe asking Holden for a loan? She held up her hands at my appalled look. I know, I'd hate it too. But he's got more money than God and doesn't seem to give a shit about any of it. He'd give you some startup cash easy. I don't know him well enough to ask him, and it's too humiliating anyway. I shook my head, examining myself in the mirror. No, I have to make it on my own. Maybe this is the universe's way of toughening me up before I become a doctor. When are you leaving? I think I have to be ready to go when the house is sold. Damn, Vi. It's better that way, I said in a small voice. Then I can get a job and get settled in before school starts in the fall. In Texas. So far away from her. And Miller. I have to leave Miller. I hadn't let myself have the thought, but now it was there, bashing around inside my heart. I sank down on the bed, my hand covering my mouth. Oh, honey. Shiloh sat beside me and put her arm around me. Don't cry. You'll ruin your makeup. You haven't told Miller, have you? Not yet. I can barely face it myself. What am I going to do, Shy? I don't know, hun. But are you sure you're up to this prom with River? Can't you call in sick and come over to my place? BB will bake you something good to celebrate your birthday, and we can eat and binge-watch Ozark. Nothing sounded better, but I shook my head. I promised River. Shiloh frowned. What gives with you two? Is he blackmailing you? No, I laughed. I stood up quickly and smoothed down the front of my dress. Shiloh had piled half my hair on my head, pinning it in a messy bun and letting the rest flow over my shoulders. You look beautiful, she said, standing with me. Miserable, but beautiful. I'm going with the wrong boy. Have you heard from your boy? No, his meeting is today. All day. On a Saturday? They worried he'd be missing school. He'll be back tomorrow. I turned to her. And what about you? I wish you were going. Not my scene, she said. And what is your scene? Ronan Wentz? Shiloh looked away. It's complicated. I know that's a cheesy Facebook cliche, but it's exactly that. I smiled softly. You care about him? No, she said, fuming. She flopped back on my bed on her back. Half the time, he drives me fucking crazy and I want to strangle him. The other times, I lay down beside her. Other times, you want to kiss him? She scoffed. You're going to mess up your hair. I made a face at her and she laughed, then took my hand and gave it a squeeze. Happy birthday, Violet. I know everything is all fucked up right now, but if you were hell-bent on going to this prom, maybe try to have some fun tonight. Forget everything for a little bit. I'll try. Shiloh stuck around while my parents pretended to be a normal, functioning family. They took a million pictures of Shiloh and me, and when River arrived, they took a million more. Dad made forced jokes about not keeping me out too late, and Mom looked like she was holding back tears.
Can we get a photo of the three of us?
Dad said, handing his phone to River.
It's a special occasion.
She relented, and I stood between them, all of us with smiles plastered on our faces. The last photo that would ever be taken of the three of us in our house again. River took me back to his place for another round of pictures. The contrast between his parents and mine was stark. Nancy and Jerry Whitmore fawned over us with easy smiles and real laughter. But there was a different tension in the Whitmore house. Jerry shook River's hand and pounded him on the back, as if they'd sealed a business deal. Nancy gave me a kiss on the cheek. He tells me you've been a very sweet friend to him. He's been a pretty great friend to me, too. That's all that matters, then. That you two are happy. Have a great time tonight. I have to say goodbye to her, too. I felt like my smile was scaffolding, holding my emotions in. If I let it fall, everything would come tumbling out. River took us to dinner at Lillian's Italian Bistro, where we sat across from each other at a little table for two. River was dashingly handsome in a black tux, with a royal blue tie and cummerbund that matched my dress. But my mind kept wanting to mentally Photoshop Miller sitting there instead. He'd look ruggedly handsome, scruff over his cheeks, maybe in dark jeans and a sport coat, and a tie that he wouldn't stop tugging at. Unpolished and perfect.
You look very beautiful,
River said.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
But you seem a little down.
He toyed with his fork.
I know you'd rather be with someone else.
Wouldn't you? I asked with a gentle smile. He started to shake his head, then nodded.
Yeah, I do. Not at the dance necessarily, but just...
to be with him.
Yeah.
Me too. A short silence passed, and then River laughed.
Oh God, what a pair we are. We gotta perk up or something. Today's your birthday. 18, right? You're an official adult now. Welcome to the club. It's total shit.
I laughed ruefully. I know it. God, it feels like it hit me all at once. In the space of one day, I had to grow up and learn to fend for myself.
You mean going to college? I thought you were staying here. UCSC.
No, I said, feeling the scaffolding tremble. Baylor, in Texas.
Oh yeah? I got accepted to Alabama University. We'll almost be neighbors.
You're really leaving too? To play football?
What else am I good for? I wanted to stay and work at Dad's shop, but he won't hear of it. His heart is set on the NFL. Maybe I'll get to take the shop over when he retires. Then I can come back and be...
home, I said.
Yeah.
River said.
Home.
The dinner was delicious, and somehow I managed to not drop one noodle onto my dress. River had just requested the check when my phone in my purse buzzed, a text from Miller.
About to board the plane. Long day, but they fucking did it. I have a deal. Heads exploding. Tell you everything when I get back. Love you, Vi.
I nearly dropped the phone. Pure joy suffused me, flooding out all of the disappointment and heartache of the last few days. River raised a brow.
Good news?
The best. I can't believe I get to say this out loud, but Miller got a record deal with Goldline.
No shit? That's awesome. Is it because of Evelyn's vlog?
Yeah, I said, deflating a little. She gave him a platform and they found him. I quickly typed back. OMFG, congratulations. You deserve everything good because you are everything good. I love you. XOXO. The text was marked as delivered but not read. The plane must have taken off. I put the phone away. River held up his glass.
Here's to Miller, rock star in the making.
My joy for him mixed with pain in equal measure. To Miller, I said. The man I'd have to say goodbye to. Chapter 22. Violet. At the Pagonip Country Club, garlands of lights were strung out over the walkway. The warm night was buzzing with insects and the smell of fresh flowers. Inside the ballroom, a DJ played AWOL Nation's The Best. Couples in various shades of formal wear were dancing, huddled in groups, talking, eating from the table of appetizers, or drinking sparkling cider.
Hey, there's Chance, River said. Let's head over.
Sure, I said, and then my stomach tightened. Evelyn Gonzalez was in the group with Chance and a few other football players and their dates. She looked stunning in ruby red. She gave me a brazen once over. Violet, you are on fire. Thanks, so are you, I said, and meant it. Her scarlet dress hugged her curves, and her thick black hair tumbled down her back in waves, sparkles catching the light. Oh my God, did you hear from Miller? She said. He got the deal. Yeah, he texted me. I wondered with a pang if he'd called Evelyn first and tried to corral the jealousy.
Isn't it incredible? She crowed. Not that I'm surprised. I never doubted my boy for one second.
My boy. I started to ask her to not talk about my boyfriend like that, but she moved in close.
Listen, Vi, I need to apologize to you.
For what? I asked warily. For being cold and distant lately.
Okay, fine. I've been a raging bitch.
I thought you were pissed at me for being homecoming queen.
Oh, that? She waved her hand. That was an eternity ago.
I had a feeling she was being magnanimous because word on the street was that she was going to be prom queen and River would be her king.
But for real, Evelyn said, I became caught up in handling Miller's career and I got carried away. But now that I'm set, I don't want any bad blood between us. Do you forgive me?
Before I could ask her what she meant that she was set, Dante Weatherly grabbed her around the waist and whispered something in her ear.
Such a pig, she laughed, smacking his arm.
She gave me a little wave and then Dante swept her into the crowd of dancers. River offered me his hand.
Want to dance?
I forced a smile.
Sure.
We squeezed onto the crowded dance floor and were engulfed in the energy and music. River leaned in.
How am I doing compared to homecoming?
Well, considering you never showed up for that one. He laughed.
I had nowhere to go but up.
I laughed too, and we danced, one song after another, both of us trying to forget what was coming. College, separations, distance between us and what we loved. Over the course of the night, River was a perfect gentleman, bringing me hors d'oeuvres and sparkling water when we needed to refuel. The DJ then announced it was time to reveal the prom king and queen, and we took our seats at one of the dozen large round tables. I leaned in to River. Do you have your speech planned? He shook his head.
I don't think it's going to be me.
Who else would it be? He shrugged.
Guess we're about to find out.
Vice Principal Chowder took the stage, microphone in hand, and introduced Layla Calderon and her prom committee. The nominees for queen were read. The usual suspects, and my name was unsurprisingly absent. I didn't care, except that it was a symptom of the failing friendship between Caitlin, Julia, and me. Or maybe that was all a figment of my imagination. Then Layla quieted the crowd.
Your Santa Cruz Central High prom queen is...
The DJ played an electric version of a drum roll.
Evelyn Gonzalez!
Applause and cheers went up, and Evelyn took the stage looking radiant and triumphant, and not at all surprised. She and Layla hugged and kissed, and then Layla hung a sash over Evelyn's dress, while another girl placed a tiara on her head.
It's like a beauty pageant my little sister watches on TLC. Toddlers and tiaras?
I smothered a laugh with my hand. Careful now, you're up next. Layla took center stage again.
And now... I am beyond excited to announce your Central High prom king, Miller Stratton.
The ballroom went wild, a chorus of girls screaming and cheering the loudest. Shock ripped through me, leaving me dazed. I looked around for Miller with everyone else, wondering if he was going to come striding through the crowd to take his crown.
Well, that's something, River said. Did you know that was going to happen?
I had no idea.
The cheers died down into confused mutterings, everyone still looking for Miller. Evelyn said something to Layla, and Layla handed her the microphone.
Miller can't be here tonight to accept his crown, but I assure you he has a very good reason.
Evelyn paused for effect.
He just signed a record deal with Gold Line Records.
The ballroom erupted all over again, girls clasping hands and jumping up and down with excited, knowing smiles. It was irrational. They only knew him from the videos, but there was a familiarity in their reaction that felt as if they were taking something of him away from me. Evelyn especially beamed, as if she'd given him to them like a benevolent queen throwing scraps to her subjects.
Guess I'll be playing your king's own jams at the next party, the DJ chimed in. Give it up for your king and queen, Miller Stratton and Evelyn Gonzalez.
The crowd cheered louder, and Evelyn threw both her arms in the air triumphantly. I felt sick. A few head turns to look at me curiously. piteously. Some knew that Miller and I were together, but most did not. My cheeks ached to keep my smile in place as a strange feeling came over me. That Miller belonged to them, to Evelyn. She had taken possession of him, claimed his success for her own. She'd been the one who propelled him to the record deal. But the feeling in my stomach was green and twisty, and I hated it.
You okay? River asked.
Fine. It's just been a crazy couple of days, to say the least.
Yeah, no kidding.
He studied me closer.
But for real, you look like you need some air. Or maybe a drink?
Water would be great.
On it.
River got up and then froze, his gaze snagging on something over my shoulder. His face hardened into a grimace, even as his eyes softened. I turned around and saw Holden Parrish leaning casually against a wall, dashing in a long coat, the collar turned up, with a vest over a button-down shirt. But his shirt was loose at the collar, his hair disheveled. He scanned the scene with dull eyes, sipping from a flask. Then his gaze landed on River. A strange smile came over his sharply handsome features. He tilted the flask back, drained it, then hurled it at the drink table. I jumped in my seat, and River muttered a curse as the metal flask smashed into a row of sparkling water and apple cider, shattering one bottle and sending bubbly water spewing. Surprised cries rang out, and the faculty started looking around for the culprit, but Holden had already stormed out. I looked quickly to River. His face was a mask of anguish and longing.
I told him I was going to Alabama.
He swallowed hard.
And that he couldn't come with me.
I put my hand on his arm. Go. River blinked and stared down at me.
What? No.
Go to him.
That'll make me two for two in ditching you at a dance.
I smiled. Strike three and you're out.
Violet.
I don't feel so well anyway. I'm going to go.
Will you be okay? No, fuck that. I can't leave you.
I'll be fine. Go. I took his hand and gave it a gentle squeeze. Don't lose him, River.
I think it's too late,
he said heavily, his smile sad.
But thank you.
River kissed me on the cheek and strode quickly out the side door where Holden had gone. I made my way out of the gym too, stopping to talk to a few friends from the soccer team and the math club. Each conversation felt more and more forced, until finally I was able to slip out and call an Uber. My head rested against the cool glass in the car. I wanted to climb in bed, pull the covers up, and get out from under this heavy sadness.
Which one?
The Uber driver asked. That one, I said. The one with the for sale sign in the front. Worst birthday ever, I thought, and had to laugh so I wouldn't cry. The house was quiet. Mom was probably in her room and Dad in the den, where I could see the blue light of the TV flickering under the door. I went up to my bedroom and struggled to undo the buttons on my dress. I wiped off my makeup, pulled down my hair, and changed into my sleep shorts and a t-shirt. For a long time, I lay staring at the ceiling, thinking about what came next. Moving to Texas. Miller moving to Los Angeles to make his record. My parents moving to opposite ends of the country to get away from each other. So many roads that once ran parallel, now diverging. And I had no idea where mine would take me, or how far from Miller. I'd nearly fallen asleep when the familiar creak came from outside my bedroom window on the trellis. It was open to let in the summer air, and then Miller was there. He climbed through and hopped off my desk, setting his bags and his guitar case on the floor. I shot up to sitting, my eyes and heart drinking him in. You're here.
I hope it's okay I came. I can't go home.
I scrambled out of bed and rushed to him, threw my arms around him, concealing my turmoil against his neck.
Hey, he stroked my hair. What is it? What's wrong?
I shook my head against his chest and pulled myself together. Nothing. God, Miller, I'm so happy for you. Tell me everything. He pulled back. His beautiful topaz eyes were lit up. And for the first time in a long time, he looked happy. The heavy burden of poverty lifting off of him just a little.
I can't fucking believe it, he said. They talked to me for a while and then took me into a studio.
They wanted to get something down that day, to test me out or I don't know what. He gave his head a disbelieving shake, then his gaze softened. I sang Yellow, our song, because it was the first song I ever performed in front of someone else. For you, Violet. You were the reason this happened for me. I shook my head. It was Evelyn, her vlog. No, he said fiercely, holding my face in his hands. You believed in me first. You didn't wait for 1,000 views or 100 comments. You've known who I was from the beginning. You accepted me, dirt poor and stinking of the station wagon. He moved in closer, his gaze boring intently into mine. I'm going to make this album, and every fucking song is going to be for you. Every one.
My eyes fell shut, and I leaned into him, my hands on his waist, letting him prop me up, feeling the solidity of him. He sensed something deeper was happening in me, as he always did.
Vi?
He pulled back and his expression fell to see my tears.
I know, it's going to suck being in LA away from you, but I can jump on a plane and be here in an hour.
I want you to kiss me, Miller. Please. His concerned frown lingered, so I brought my lips to his and kissed him. Softly, then harder, seeking entry, needing to lose myself in him. My ardor woke his, and his mouth took over the kiss, devouring mine. Our tongues slid against one another in perfect tandem, perfect rhythm, our heads moving side to side, breathing in sync, in harmony, because we just fit. He pulled away breathlessly.
Jesus, I almost forgot. Happy birthday, Vi.
You know what that means?
I do,
he said, his eyes darkening, his Adam's apple bobbing in his throat.
You sure?
I wasn't sure of anything anymore except him. He had to know about Baylor, but not yet. We didn't have to do anything but this. We breathed together, our eyes locked in the thickness of the moment. Our lips touched and retreated. Another look from Miller, checking in. And then we kissed long and deep, like drinking from each other. Slow kisses that left no room for breath, and I poured myself into every one of them. I filled my hands with his hair, his broad shoulders over his t-shirt, down to the small of his back. But still, I felt his hesitation with desire simmering beneath. Touch me, Miller, I whispered. Touch me everywhere. The certainty in my words set him free. He lifted my shirt over my head, my hair falling around my shoulders. His hooded gaze swept over me, leaving shivers in its wake.
So beautiful,
he said, his hands full of my breasts, his lips hot against the delicate skin of my neck.
I want this so much.
A little sound fell from my lips, to hear such nakedly vulnerable words in his rough voice. Me too. Then more kissing, until we'd come to the end of chaste touches. I lifted his shirt off and drank him in, my hands on him everywhere, down to the CGM implant. Will it be safe?
I think so, he said. I don't know, actually. I've never done this before.
I still can't believe you waited for me. He shrugged with a small smile.
You waited for me. We waited for each other. Because when you push all the bullshit aside, who else is there? There's no one for me but you. There never was.
He kissed me again, and our bodies molded together. His body a wall of muscles under warm skin, his hands rough as they slid up and down my back. He'd worked so hard with those hands, carried so much on his shoulders, and pride filled me that I was going to give him this night. I went to the bed, pulling him with me, and lay back. The weight of him felt so good, so solid and real, anchoring me into the present moment when my thoughts wanted to drift away to a future in which we'd be miles apart. He kissed me deeply and with such reverence, our bodies responding to each other without a thought, instinct only. My hips arched up to meet his, while his ground down into me, like they did the last time he was here. This time, anticipation of the more that was coming electrified every moment, unexplored sensations and untouched skin, waiting. He undid the button on his jeans while I slipped off my shorts. He kicked off his underwear while I slid my panties down and tossed them aside. A flash of heat swept through me along with a tinge of nervous anticipation at the sight of his penis, huge and erect, but he quickly moved to lay over me. My heart was pounding, and it seemed I could feel every part of Miller. I could hear his blood pumping in his veins, feel every slight move and vibration of his body. His bones and flesh and sinew, I felt all of it over me, and I wanted him inside me. I wanted that masculine power, the essence of him, moving and taking. We kissed and touched until our bodies were both on the brink, crossing the line of hesitation into pure want. He sat up, and I sat up with him, naked on my bed. I stared at the size of him, shocked at my own calmness. I felt feminine and womanly in the face of his masculinity. I placed my hand over his heart, felt it beating hard, then moved down his chest to the magnificent hard length of him. I wrapped my fingers around its girth, and he made a tight sound in his chest. He seemed to grow bigger in my hand as I stroked him hesitantly. "Does this feel good?" He nodded wordlessly.
"Everything you do feels good."
Miller kissed me while I stroked him, and his hand slipped between my legs, feeling the heat and wetness he'd already created in me.
"Jesus, Vi."
"I want you," I whispered. "Now." His eyes searched mine again, his breath trembling over his lips. I nodded. "Yes." He kissed me softly, then grabbed for a condom out of his wallet and rolled it down. I lay back, taking him with me. He positioned himself at the center of me, his body thrumming and vibrating over me. I brought my knees up, letting him in, my hands gripping his hips as he guided himself into me, 1 inch at a time. My breath hitched at the pain.
"I'm hurting you."
"Don't stop. Please, don't stop." Slowly, he pushed in farther, and I felt myself stretching to contain him, tearing open to take all of him. The pain was grating and rough, but beautiful too, and it subsided quickly.
"God, Vi," he whispered.
"I had no idea." "Me either," I breathed back. We were utterly safe and private, sharing this experience completely with no one else in the room. "Does it feel okay?" I asked him tentatively, tightly. He nodded against my neck.
"Incredible. You feel incredible."
We kissed again, easier now. I was adjusting to the feel of him inside me, my body getting used to the size and heavy hardness of him. Slowly, he pulled out and then pushed back in, over and over. I bit my lip at the sensation, the fading pain and a faint ache of pleasure, like a promise waiting to burn brighter another time. His slow, careful thrusts quickly became more. He moved faster, kissing me constantly, holding my face and asking me if I was all right. He never let me forget that he wasn't losing himself in his own pleasure, until finally the words melted away. I wrapped my legs around Miller's body, anchoring him to me as he moved inside me. My arms clutched his neck and my fingers in his hair that was damp with sweat. He grunted, jaw clenched.
"Vi."
"Come," I managed. "Come inside me." My words sent him over. Miller's body shuddered against mine, his face contorted in a pleasure pain expression. A few final erratic thrusts and he collapsed over me. Tears gathered in the corners of my eyes and spilled down my cheeks as I wrapped my arms around him, feeling his naked chest expand against mine as we caught our breath. I held on to him, clung to him, and this moment, this experience of having him and giving myself to him. He was mine. He'd always been mine since the day we met, and maybe even before that. The sun was going to rise on a new day and take him away from me, but for those delirious moments and the handful of hours that came after, I had him, and it was perfect. Chapter 23. Violet. As the morning light streamed in from the window, I woke up with Miller wrapped around my body. My body ached in the best way. I held on to the feeling, relished it. He'd been inside me and I could still feel him there. My first, my only. I shut my eyes and snuggled closer to him, my back to his chest, his arm around me and his breath deep and even in sleep, against my neck. I started to drift off again when my phone vibrated with a call amongst the pile of our discarded clothes. Sleepily, I peered down to see Evelyn's name. I started to ignore it, but then why would she call me? To gloat? Or was it an emergency? I stretched out of Miller's embrace and grabbed the phone. I curled to the edge of the bed and kept my voice low. "Hey, Evelyn, what is it?"